something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
the Torrens family takes on Manhattan.
A tourist submarine for the Titanic has gone missing.
And does Ferris Bueller's Day Off really hold up? That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello!
Just back from a roadie, bud.
Another roadie, a little New York roadie.
Torrens fam drove from Nova Scotia to New York, and we drove because we wanted to take the dogs with us.
Oh, smart, yeah. Yeah.
They can't fly. Happy for respiratory challenges. And Joy, because she's so big, she'd have to go under, and that just is a little nervous making.
So is it, did they actually go into the city, dogs in the city?
Yeah, they did.
That's awesome.
So many smells and things to eat and old gum.
That's so many things
to pee on. And I remember reading somewhere that for dogs, smelling other dogs' pee is like reading the newspaper. So,
I've also heard that like the sniffing that is like, it's not only, I guess, invigorating for them, but the actual sniffing itself and the speed of it is like, it's a boost for them. Like, it's almost like working out. So like even if a dog's sniffing around in your yard, that's a huge amount of like exercise that it's getting. As opposed to like sitting in your house where they're not doing that. So it's super important to let them rip around and take snorts on everything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They loved the city for that reason. It did add a bit of a layer organizationally because we were staying down in the village because it's nice and quiet and a great place to walk dogs and less chaotic. But
they let you keep the dogs at the place there?
They do. It's pet friendly. I think because so many people got pets during the pandemic, hotels had to be like, all right, well, we need to fill it up. But there is a $750 fine if they urinate on the floor.
Which is like kind of like you're kind of really rolling the dice. Because it's a good chance they're going to do that, I think. Like, Rebel, as much as he's good, I think he would probably piss somewhere or give a quick squirt or something.
Well, we rolled up the carpet, first of all.
Oh, smart. Yeah, right.
And they were in their kennels, and we kind of have it maxed out at, a certain number of hours, 4 or 5. So we would kind of plan our events around like, okay, we'll go to Midtown, do these two things, and then piece home and take them for a walk. So no accidents, I can report, honestly.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you're not letting them float around the room, though, if they're in their kennels. That's key.
When we were there, they're floating around the room.
Okay.
And Joy is probably 130 pounds. And so when we would get back after 4 or 5 hours, she had to go. So it's like water skiing through the lobby a dog. Like everyone's really good natured about it. And Joy turns a lot of heads and she just kind of makes people happy. They like her face and her big smile, but she's a lot of dog. That's no secret.
Like I remember last week at Jack's soccer game. He plays house league soccer with his buddies and loves it. But there was a lady there with a dog. A big kind of, I don't know but it was a big dog. Like it looked kind of retriever styles, but it was bigger than a retriever. But anyway, it was like pulling her around. And then at one point it was like running all because it saw another dog. And she's just getting dragged behind it like a horse.
Uh-oh.
And we're all, everyone's offering to, can I help? No, 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 it's fine. She kept doing that. Like, no, get lost. It's fine. It's my dog. It's all good. But then she's literally getting dragged around like in the movies, like on her ass for a bit. Like as if she was like, you know, when you're doing water skiing styles, like full. And then literal like full on like Pete Rose diving, getting pulled.
So she was allowed to have a dog there?
It was at a soccer game outside, right? So of course.
Oh, right. so everyone in the neighborhood brings their dogs and they're hanging out.
She's just, yeah, so another dog comes by, she's getting dragged around, like, you know how they do it at, I don't know, in rodeos or whatever, the clowns, like, for stunts?
Yeah. She's getting ragdolled around. I mean, it is, yeah. It's not a great feeling to look like you have too much dog or like you're not in control of your dog. But do you know what? Do you know what freaks Joy out? Is the thought of being left behind by us.
Aww.
So the last morning when we were like out of the room and I was putting stuff in the car, the girls kind of hid around the corner because they knew the second Joy saw the car, she would just peace. And she's too much dog for anyone to contain in that type of setting. But she, it's never like, I want to go attack that dog or I want to go jump on that person. It's only like, what? You guys aren't leaving without me, are you? That's the only thing that causes friction
in her life. No, that's what I'm saying. Rebel's the same thing. And I think that's the biggest fear, and that's the only real depression with any dogs is that the most. It's like when there's nobody around and they're lonely and they're missing everybody. Like Rebel barks and moans. Does Joy do that, like crying if you leave?
No.
No? She just crashes?
Not really. She'd be more apt to cry when we get back. Like, oh my gosh, you guys came back. Oh, I was that's worried. Good. I thought you weren't going to.
Because usually they're like, how?
When you leave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just pissed and bummed out and crying.
No, Happy's more like, hey.
Like, where'd you go?
To get out when we get home, if we don't let them out of their kennels right away. What does Rebel do if you guys are going out? Does he just sleep on the couch, or does he have a kennel or anything?
Well, because Lisa's mom's usually here when we leave, so he'll go upstairs and cry and howl, and then bark a bit, and then go to her for a bit, and then go back and start crying and howling and looking out the windows. The whole time until we're back.
It's so cute.
The whole time, yeah.
So we had a few plans when we were in the New York City. One was the girls took a dance class at the Broadway Dance Center. Because sometimes, like, as you know, just a change of scenery and doing the same thing in a new place can get you all fired up and invigorated. And
yeah,
it was kind of daunting and intimidating and sort of like fame school. Three stories of people doing dance classes and Michael Jackson's autograph there and tap and jazz and lyrical and hip hop happening. But the I was so thankful. I can't remember which celebrity. Oh, it was Mr. Rogers. I saw an interview clip with Mr. Rogers, and the question was, what advice do you have for parents? And he said, I think parents sometimes forget what it's like to be a kid. And I was thinking of that as the girls, luckily they have each other, of course, but going into this new building in a big city, in a new environment with people they've never met, having to try to do hip-hop dance, you know, figure out which level they're kind of suited for. And I was so thankful because the guy doing the class was like, hey, you guys coming in? And they were just kind of tentative at the door, and his warm greeting just made it possible for them to just kind of sail in. And you realize how little it takes to put someone at ease in a new environment. So he said to everyone who came in the door, go say hi to two people you don't know. And everyone kind of clapped for each other when they finished a combo and stuff. And it's such a supportive environment, which really helps when you're trying to learn a new thing, you know? So that was really cool. Then we went to Kelly and Mark, and we were sitting at the back of the thing. So they double bang episodes. We went to the second one of the day, and the first one had Matthew Broderick and Conor McGregor on. So as we're standing in line to go to Kelly and Mark, behind us was...
Who's the Mark guy again? Is it her husband? Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Because Ryan Seacrest quit.
So, yeah, I could just picture... You should have had a picture of you sitting in the audience there.
Well, somebody took one. So meanwhile, so we're in line to go into Mark and Kelly, and behind us is the like stage door, and I just happened to turn around as as Matthew Broderick was ambling out, just kind of like walking out and getting into a waiting car, but under the radar and not flashy.
Was he hacking a dart right away?
No, but his hair is very gray now.
Yeah.
So we actually watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off yesterday. Okay. That movie totally holds up.
Yeah.
It's such a classic.
And, it is.
And actually, Carol and I were talking about this morning on our walk, how the Cameron character is the subject of a lot of discussion in recent years, because he very clearly had what we now have terms for, like he suffered from anxiety or had mental health challenges that weren't really talked about when that movie was made. So it was kind of way ahead of its time in the sure. way it treated the Cameron character, who is awesome.
He had a crazy dad, which is part of the that's the stem generally of the anxiety.
Yeah, interesting. And I like the choice to never see Cameron's dad, because in your head you make it way worse than you know, any actor that could be cast.
Well, yeah, I think anyone can relate to that kind of a thing too, especially if you don't see the person. They just see that person in their life that's like, is that fearful, like, kind of, oh no, they're here, when that, you know, when that person's in the house, and just the concern or just the anxiety in between those times.
We were also kind of discussing whether Ferris was a terrible friend or an awesome friend. And I think ultimately we concluded that he's kind of both, because when they're standing looking at the Ferrari before they take it, Ferris goes, come on, man, let's take the car. And Cameron's like, no, are you kidding? We can't. And Ferris goes, it's our only option, which of course isn't true and is sort of manipulative and not the case at all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he did push Cameron beyond his comfort level in a way that ultimately benefited Cameron. He had the best day ever and realized that things aren't as scary as he sometimes thinks they are in his head. So anyway, Matthew Broderick ambled out behind us, and I was kind of psyched to see him. Such a good actor.
He was. He was in some classic movies.
Also, he had a bit of a bump with the law, didn't he?
Well, he in, I don't know, Ireland or something, he killed somebody by mistake driving in the wrong side of the road or something like that. Some horrifying story.
He got off.
Well, because it was a mistake, right? He didn't mean, obviously didn't mean it to, for it to happen. So just horrifying.
Yes, very.
Imagine you're like, hey, didn't you get a little...
Yeah. Just,
no thanks. That's awful.
Well, you must think about it every day of your life.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So he quietly sort of walks out and says hello to a couple of people, because the masks are waiting to get their stuff signed. And they must be at Kelly and Mark's stage door every day, because there were a bunch of dudes with Conor McGregor belts and what have you, waiting for him to sign their stuff. And so, as quiet as Broderick was leaving, McGregor was unsurprisingly loud, flashy, Escalade, hazard lights, like, just in case you didn't notice a famous person was leaving now, let's be very clear about what's happening. So I think dudes must have been working in nearby office buildings and saw his appearance on live on TV at the office, because suddenly there were all kinds of no-necks rolling up to get stuff signed, and Conor McGregor's holding court like a tiny little frosted Lucky Charms jacked nightmare.
Hell, he's so little too, right? He's only a wee little guy.
He is a tiny little maf in this great big world. So then on our episode, Bryan Cranston was a guest.
Nice. That's
and
a
we
good
were
one.
Like, people that were in the audience were there super early. Like, say you had to be there at 9:30. There must have been people there at 8 or 7, because we were very, very last going in to the audience. So we were sitting in the least desirable seats in the place, which were at the back of the thing next to a producer guy who's sitting at a table. And by total fluke, they start talking about the producer that I'm sitting beside. I was sitting in the row behind the girls, and they cut to him on camera, and you can see Carol and Shug and Indy plain as day. And they cut to them like three times sitting in the audience. And I had a choice to make, because I saw when I was clapping, you can see my hands. And I was like, do I want to be the guy who leans
No, you don't lean in.
So I didn't. Yeah. I exercised restraint. And
that would have been too much.
Would have been too much, yeah. But you see my hands definitely clapping vigorously. You see the moment that Shug discovers she's on the monitor. And Bryan Cranston is a guy that I was doing a pilot when I lived in California. It was called like Hollywood Tonight. It was sort of a parody of Entertainment Tonight and those shows. Mm-hmm. And we discovered quickly that they are a parody of themselves and you can't actually parody them. But Bryan Cranston was kind enough to let us come to his house to shoot a fake story. And he was awesome. I probably told you this before. He was like, are you sure you have to go? You guys can't stay for lunch? Like,
come
genuinely
on.
The nicest dude ever. So that was kind of a kick to see him on the show. And then the Let It Go woman, Idina Menzel, performed.
Wow. That's some classic taste for New York for
we
the
packed
kids.
In some New Yorkery.
That's really
got
good.
Some Magnolia cupcakes, and then Thursday night we went to see Charlie Puth at Radio City Music Hall.
Who is that?
Charlie is he on your Puth? Radar?
No.
Has probably 12
Charlie Puth
bangers on the radio. Some that he wrote for other people.
It's one of those guys.
Yeah,
collab guy.
Oh, here's the song you would know. It's been a long day. Without you, my friend. You know that one with the rap on it?
I think so, yeah.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? That
one. Big pop bangers.
Huge pop banger guy. And I think part of the reason, he can sell out Radio City Music Hall by himself. And part of the reason he's so big right now is because he shares his creative songwriting process. He seems like a music geek that probably went to Berkeley or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like highly skilled and speaks music. So he's like, I had a notion for a melody that's like, and then he'll play it. And then it needed like a, and then he'll add that in. And then you realize, oh, that's how you made the song that I've heard on the radio a whole bunch. So the girls were totally fired up and inspired by Charlie Puth. The place was packed. People were singing along, having a great time. And it was wonderful.
For the dogs have the dogs have a shit in the park there.
We didn't go to Central Park.
No.
We didn't go to Central Park. We did walk around the village a lot.
Oh, that's right. You were down there the whole time, pretty much.
Great food, pizza.
Yeah.
Like ultimately, it was 30 hours of driving and probably 48 hours in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But still, change of scenery,
good.
Great hang. Everyone was happy to go.
Well done. Good move. Just to get the summer cracking.
Yeah, it felt like the kickoff of summer for sure.
Anna had a great time at her camp, as expected.
What did they do?
They did everything. She made a little movie. She made some cool drawings. She put learned some interesting makeup stuff, you know, like made some makeup styles. I don't know, like when you're not like prosthetics on the ears and to be Shrek, but more like, you know, Ace Frehley styles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, more like old school, like learning just how to draw on your face and do stuff like that. And then obviously, craft stuff and playing and singing tons of songs and acting and just everything. It was great. She said she had a great time. She really met some new friends for life, that kind of vibes.
Oh, wow. So wait, it wasn't the kids from school?
It was just one other kid from her school, and then other kids from schools around. So it was like a York Region collection of students from that area.
Oh, neat.
All at one camp. So yeah, most kids didn't know each other. So just a few kids from each school, I think maybe two max or something. So that was what was cool about it.
So was she invited to go?
She applied.
Or you could sign up for it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it was really cool. Good times. She loved it, every minute of it. And you could tell that, you know, it was the kind of one of those coming of age vibes.
Yeah, cool.
Because it's just older kids. There's a lot of high school kids there as well. And the counselors were all just really super positive and well-trained and new. And the people that they had there as leaders and just the, I guess, the teachers, in a sense, they're all professionals in their own fields, right? So just tip-top, hats off.
I love that kids are emerging from the shadows of the last few years, which have no doubt rocked them socially and confidence-wise and enthusiasm-wise.
Yeah, like we picked them up and it's like everybody's crying. Annalise has even like had tears in her eyes, and just that's how you know it's a classic week.
Yeah. So is it something that she could go back to?
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully. Yeah. I guess you have to reapply and everything, but it's all through the arts programs of the school. So yeah, it was great.
I dig it, because that's, as we know, first place that gets cut.
No, I know. And art all those stuff. Things have been shrinking more than getting more and more.
You know, we were staying in Augusta, Maine on our way back on the last night of our trip, and there was a big bus full of a high school choir. And cool. These Mavs were just kind of out on tour. And you realize how many resources they have for that stuff in the States. I'm sure it's not the same in every part of the States, but have you ever heard of a choir at a high school in Canada, like going on a tour?
I mean, not unless it's they're in a competition. Like, I've heard of that. Like, different high schools have their camp bands or whatever groups going, and they compete in events, and then they got on the bus and go places for sure.
What were you in or on in school? Like what teams or clubs or?
Yeah, things? Like I did chess. I was in the chess team.
Really?
Yeah, and I was on. I did wrestling, like the classic wrestling. Yeah.
Like leotard styles?
Yeah, the Roman wrestling, the Greco, whatever it's called. Greco-Roman, yeah.
Were you good?
And wasn't great at it, but you learn a lot about center of balance and stuff like that. What else? What other things? What about you? You must have been in some good clubs and things.
I was on the soccer team at St. Pat's High School, and we were not great.
Yeah.
And I was the goalie. A lot of people scored goals on me. And I was, I did a musical. But then after the musical, I was briefly in jazz choir. And that's when I was like, okay, how did this happen?
Yeah,
like,
I did a couple plays too.
I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Java Jive, and it loves me. Like, not exactly pulling road strange. Being in jazz choir.
I did Oliver, the play Oliver.
Remember who are you?
One? Fagin.
Oh, that's a good role for you.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. And I remember, what other one? I can't remember the other one. There was another one, though, but it was just same thing. One of those old, so why is it always the old British plays?
I thought you were going to say you're always the old British guys.
No, they're always like all the ones that they had at school. Where I was like, hi, mate. How you doing, mate? Oh, just give me a shekel and be quiet.
Those were always your parts. Blue skies, well, blue skies, smiling in the smiling.
Oi, boy, what you crying about? Is trying to get some sleep over here.
You should reprise your role as Fagin. Would you ever do a play?
No. Oh, you're about to get into doing it, right? Have you done any rehearsals yet for yours? No.
It's September and October.
Okay.
It's September and October. And
that's September is when you start rehearsals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a short rehearsal period. And it's a very complicated play, I gather, because there's a lot of, like, kind of stunty, fighty set pieces falling down and having to roll out of the way.
Yeah, like, is there any preparations that you're doing? Is there anything that you can do, like, in learning of what you have to do at this point? Or is it all just September it starts?
Well, interestingly, I got a message from a guy who's playing my role in another place that they're doing the play. And he was like, hey, man, I gather we're doing the same role. Just they're in rehearsals. And he said, just wanted to share something that I found really helpful, which was I learned the words before rehearsal started. And there seem to be conflicting reports on whether you should do that. Because sometimes it's like looks too keenery, apparently, and people kind of learn it together. But he was like, this one is so physical that I found that learning the physical stuff, I needed to have my hands free. So it was hard to like learn these stunts with a script in one hand, which makes perfect sense. And it was a total bud move for him to deal me in on that.
Yeah, to get at least a heads up so you don't have to worry about learning two things at once. That makes
exactly.
A lot of sense.
But yeah. I think everyone's probably a little different, and some people probably tie the physical movement to the words, and that's kind of how they help remember both, is to bake them together.
True.
I really appreciated that intel, because obviously haven't done it for 25 years? No. Wow, longer.
Well, I mean, it's in a sense, when you're doing it in front of a camera, it's similar, right? Like but it's just not for the whole night.
It's 15 second fragments at a time, as many times as you like before you're like, I think we got it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm into the reason I wanted to do this play in particular is that it's a real ensemble thing. Everybody gets a chance to show off, and the crew does too, because of all the things that happen with the set. So I'm not front and center in a spotlight. I'm one cog in the wheel, and that suits me just fine.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great, lots of laughs. It's going to be some big laughs coming right up.
Let's take a break and then dive into your 90s jams that you have ready to go.
Oh, I got some songs. Okay.
BRB, bop.
Hello.
I have a theory.
What's that?
Charlie Puth's songs are mostly around the 2-minute mark, or some are 2:20, some are 2:30, but most are shorter. Are people changing the length of songs because societally our attention span is less?
Probably, yeah, for sure.
I feel like 100%. Also, I noticed that most of his songs, and don't get me wrong, there are other musicians out there. I'm just in a bit of a Charlie wormhole right now, because he's on heavy rotation in our house. Most of his songs, if not all of them, start with a chorus. So he front loads dessert, and then you have to eat the meal. But I wondered if that was like, that makes sense, because in this like scroll along moment we're living in, people don't have the patience to earn a chorus by waiting a minute and 30 to get there. Know what I mean?
Yeah, no. But it's more the boredom factor. Like, they want to move on. Like, oh, they heard the hook and it's like, okay.
What else you got?
Not waiting for a verse, another verse.
Do you know?
That's why they have that mashup music that's popular. That's literally one section of a song going into a completely different song with some stupid beat behind it. Like that hold me closer, that a concept of songs just merging into other songs. And then like, oh, here's a classic. Do you recognize? But that's not really at all.
I think Elton John is using
Oh, he's totally using that shit to his advantage.
But I think it's his original vocals. I don't even think he lays down a new vocal.
No, there's no way. And what do you think that's him doing? That ding, 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 like the stupid piano.
No, stuff.
Do you think that's him?
No, that do you?
Little roughs.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I think it's a guy that's trying to be him. So he's like putting a glove on his hand. Try and like
soften
slow it a bit. You know what I mean? Like a winter glove, but playing some riffs. But a ding, ding, ding.
Just to take the edge off. He's Johnifying his playing.
Yeah, just to kind of make it like his playing sound like 60 years old or something. Just like the little. Little fat hands.
By the way, yesterday was Father's Day, and yeah. Indy made a card for me, and the last thing it said was, come up to the piano, I have a surprise for you. She learned Let It Be.
No.
And has been working on it for months. Anytime I'm not in the house, I'm working on it with her piano teacher because she wanted to drop that on me for Father's Day. Like... the surprise, the work ethic, the playing itself, that was a heavy and beautiful moment.
You're probably bawling.
I was, yeah. And yeah, it's funny that when you get cracked open like that, your first reaction is, oh, I should like get it together, stop. And then I realized, like, why? This is a beautiful thing that's hitting me hard. Let it hit me.
Yeah.
So sure. She was this blurry image at the piano playing the song, and I never wanted it to end. It was the coolest.
That's the best.
But in this 2-minute song universe, I even noticed yesterday watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off how there are moments where nothing's happening. It's a couple of close-ups of a sunny day, and or they stay on the car driving for longer than you probably need to. It's because no one was in a hurry. There wasn't that much else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a treat to watch this little tone poem in the days before cell phones.
Yeah, my kids gave me a nice card for and Lise as well for did Father's Day. Well, yeah, it does because we've been playing. We just in the last couple. I don't know, maybe a month or so, been playing Mario Party, which is kind of like a board game because there's four people can play. And it's fun. It's a great game. There's mini games in it, and you're actually going around a board to win stars. And I don't know, if you haven't played it, it's the equivalent to a board game, but more fun because there's all kinds of stuff that's going on as well. And it's not... like Monopoly, where you can get into fights. But there is a way where you can kind of take stuff from other players and stuff, but it's not like Monopoly, where you can crush everybody. But it is fun. So anyway.
I don't understand what it is. Like, do you sit down at the dining room table and play it? Or it's a...
Yeah, like on the Nintendo Switch. It's a Nintendo Switch. So, like, yeah, you're playing on the screen, your TV.
Got it.
And then everybody has a controller, and then you play. Everything's easily explained in terms of buttons and what you have to do.
Like that too?
Yeah, because it's, you know, Lisa and I can jump in and play it. So that we're not playing any games at all. And you figure, what the hell? These Switch controllers are so small. What's going on here? But it's easy, and it's good times. Highly recommended.
I love having a thing to do as a family.
Yeah.
Like where I'm like, hey, what time's the thing?
For you, it's perfect because it's four people play it, right? So it's it's great. It really is. It's super kid friendly and fun.
So we'd need a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been watching Glee. Did you ever watch that show?
You're rewatching it, right? Because it's not on anymore.
Well,
right?
No, I didn't watch it the first time, so I've never seen it before. But it's first couple of seasons were really fun and kind of true to its format about these kids in high school that kind of found their people in this room with a motivated teacher who's trying to get them to sing songs to express themselves, and it was cool. And then it's interesting. You know how British shows will do three seasons of something and then just park it? And American shows are like, oh, that's when everybody's starting to make the real money, though. So they keep it going to drive it into the ground. The story has gotten so far-fetched and not true to its original notion. Because
like aliens showing up and like going to space.
Well, the cast graduated and a bunch of them moved to New York. And one of them went away to the army. And then he shows up in New York. And the worst part is they all keep coming back to the high school. Because they're like, guess who's here? It's that star that you miss that you're happy to see. But it doesn't really make sense why they're back. And something that people might not know is that when you are, say it's down to me and you, to audition for this role in a TV show.
Yeah.
They pre-negotiate with us because they don't want to wait till you get offered the part and then you're like, all right, well, here's what it's going to take for me to do it. They pre-negotiate with us. So typically, let's say I'm willing to do it for scale and then they pre-negotiate seasons 2 and 3. So season two, I get a 10% raise. Season three, I get another 5% raise. And you would negotiate something different. Maybe you're like, no, I'm double scale. Then I need triple, then quadruple, whatever. But the end of season three, usually all bets are off because all of the stars' contracts are expiring and everyone goes back to the table for season four.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of Glee, for example, no one probably imagined how big it would blow up. So in season four, a lot of the cast is like, well, I'm going to try to have a movie career or I'm going to try to get a spinoff or I don't want to be too associated with this. So not only have they graduated in the story, but they're even selective about who can come back and who's there for what episodes because they're guest stars now instead of stars on the show because they tried to just flip the cast and have a new one, but it obviously didn't get the traction that the original one did.
Man, it's a slippery slope. When you're trying to stay popular, like that's the key.
And without changing the show's core DNA or the character's core DNA, which is really hard to do successfully. We're watching Ted Lasso now on season 3. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen any of it?
No.
Oh.
Lasso-less. Is it on Disney or Plus?
Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't have the Apple TV.
What are you guys watching?
We usually are jamming on the Prime or Netflix. Or isn't it amazing how many different ones there are? Not amazing, but stupid because you can't like. If you have all the subscriptions, you're literally spending more than you would be in cable.
Exactly.
In the first place, so it just doesn't. I don't know what the hell is going. It's the same with the madness of electric cars that I had with a long trip. It's like. It's more a convenience than saving the planet. And this is the other thing where it's more the streaming was an idea like, oh, just stop paying for cable. Try this. It's way cheaper. Has become more expensive than the cable.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So here we are eating ourselves again.
Well, especially because we haven't canceled our cable yet.
Yeah. No, me either. So
I don't even really know what we have it for. We like sporting events, I guess, or if some That's big it. News thing's happening.
That's all it is like sports and news.
Yeah. But we also have, I don't know, 6 or 7 streaming service subscriptions.
Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. It really is. It's just a big fistful of get fucked.
But so aren't these streamers going to have to get together and say, okay, well, let's add ourselves as a package. And so for $50, you can get your 5 favorite streamers or something.
Well, that's the problem is if you get into a show and then you're like, oh, see, I like that The Bear Show. It's on Disney. But I canceled Disney because there's nothing else that I want to watch on there.
What's but I know The Bear Show?
I know when that comes back on, I'll want to watch it again, so I might cough up the $15.
I'll open a new email address and get another...
The Bear, it's about that show where the chef opens his family restaurant run by his brother. It's like a sandwich shop in Boston. It's a great show. You got to watch it.
Oh, with Lip from Shameless.
Who's that?
But
it's probably that guy then.
Yeah.
But it's a great show.
And he worked great in acting. An actual restaurant to kind of train for it.
Yeah. Incredible acting for sure. So that's the only, but that's, yeah, sometimes that'll happen where it's like it'll be on like, oh man, I love that show. I want to watch it. So you buy in, but then I skip out as soon as I binge through it. So that's how they really get you if they're doing that, like releasing it like TV, a show that you really like.
One episode at a time.
Yeah, like every other week or a week or whatever it's coming out, that's how they suck you back. But if they throw them all at once, I'll just get in there and I'm gonzo. Peace. $15, peace out. Just like going to the movies.
I know. So yesterday I rented Ferris Bueller on YouTube. So clean. $4.99, you pay it once, you watch it, you're done. I wonder if that's where things are headed. You just kind of buy things piecemeal.
Well, that sucks too, though. Yeah. But I mean, that's the whole, how many of these on-demand services do we have where everything's free, but that one ain't? Have you noticed that? Like my kids want to watch really stupid Adam Sandler movies. And some of them, like Click, for example, is only like $18.99 or something. Like, this is one of the worst movies all ever made. My kids want to see it just because it's so bad. But there's no way I'm spending $15 to see
Click. What is Click?
The movie when he's got like the remote and he finds a remote and it starts like turning everything, rewinding and fast forwarding everything around him. Like, it's the stupidest premise ever for a movie.
Is that a Sandler movie?
Yeah.
How do I not remember it?
Well, it's like, it's just so ridiculous that it's become a phenomenon with people. It's like, what's this? I want to see Click.
Huh.
Anyway, there's some bad movies that you're like, this is $15? No, I'm not. Or some of them, it's like, you can only buy it, right?
Yeah, right. And who wants to buy?
Buy Billy Madison? Like, come on.
Strange times.
Like, Adam Sandler's got the world on lockdown with his movies. Because he just keeps getting that Netflix cash. And he banged out that semi-decent Uncut Gems movie, right?
What was that?
So that movie that was it was all right. It was a serious movie. The one that he didn't win an Oscar for, and everyone's like, oh, he should have won an Oscar. When it was like, it was okay. It's like, whatever. But, I mean, that got him rejuvenated probably 8 more Netflix shit comedies with that Rob Schneider idiot. Always, right? He's always coming as a pizza guy or something.
Man, did he ever emerge as an idiot?
Fuck that guy. Yeah, and he's like a raging right-wing lunatic online, too. He's like, how's this guy still out there?
It was kind of better to have a little distance from these people.
I know. Instead of a new movie every 6 weeks.
Like, you know what's enough, Rob Schneider? You can do it. There you go. That's it.
That was enough.
That's a perfect amount of Rob Schneider.
Yeah, he was on SNL for like 27 years too, right? Like, he milked that shit forever. Like, he was always cracking up or like looking the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember him ever. I don't remember any character that he did was like, oh, that was funny. Can you remember it? I could just see him sitting there in amongst the cast looking like an idiot all the time.
I'm just thinking of his characters in, like, who is the guy with his balls out in 51st Dates?
Adam Sandler again?
No, Rob Schneider. Yeah, it's a Sandler movie, but Rob Schneider was like,
oh, he's got his balls out.
Remember them golfing and he had two different color eyes and
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember him ever having a funny character on SNL.
Hmm. Oh, he wasn't he making copies? Making copies. I think that was his big deal. Oh,
that's right.
Making copies. Jordan Rando. Right? Mike Arini making copies. Kind of a one trick pony in the same way that Spade's Bye-Bye was, right?
Oh yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, they do you really want to see a second and third Bye-Bye sketch?
Yeah. No thanks.
Especially there's no second gear. Like it's funny on the surface, but there's nowhere to go.
But anyway, going back to our short-term memory.
kids today. Yes, generally. Yeah, kids today. That's what our pod should be called.
I have we could play a game where it's like being those two types of people.
Short-term memory guy?
Short-term memory guys.
Okay. So why don't I'll be a guy who has something really serious to talk to you about. And you're just sifting through different songs.
But eventually you want to hear some songs too. But yeah. We never can say what the song is, but it's another song because I've only got a selection of so many here.
And I don't know what they are. Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Yes.
So I'll be the guy playing some favorite songs. Yes, I like this one. Come in. Okay, I'm gonna put my one favorite on. This I'm gonna hear some of this. I'm gonna sit back and just enjoy my favorite song to the day. It's good stuff. Where is the music? How come it's not working? Here it comes. Yeah. This is no doubt my favorite song of the day.
Hey Steve-O.
Yep.
Listening to No Doubt again. Nice.
It's still a good one, yeah.
You still have that poster of Gwen Stefani up in your room?
Yeah. I'm just going to get to this part. It's too long.
Apparently, she wrote this about a very real breakup about with one of her bandmates.
This part. Better start explaining.
Talking about something that's kind of serious.
If you have anything explaining,
I don't have anyone else to talk to about this, and it's really been kind of burning my hide.
Memories. I don't like this part. I'm gonna go to this part. Yeah, kind of explaining.
Sorry to bug you. Did you turn that off just for 1 second?
Better start explaining. Okay, what?
Steve-O, yeah, I was just wondering if you could just turn the music off for 1 second. I really need you as a friend. Yeah. And I just need to bounce a couple things off you. Kelly gave me an ultimatum. She said we're either getting married or we're breaking up. And I just kind of want to talk through it with you. All right, Steve-O?
I like this one, but I don't like the part at the beginning. It's kind of not appearing in this part either.
Anyway,
last part.
I'm just kind of laying.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. Like you're having some problems. Like it's things will get better.
Okay, Jesus,
boy is mine.
Just laying my heart on the line. I guess I could use your attention for 1 minute.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So remember, my heart.
Remember 6 months ago when Kelly said, I'll keep dating you for now, but this is going to come to a head. And I was like, yeah. And at the time, I was just like, I'm just buying time. Well, the clock has run out. And now she's she's giving me till Thursday to kind of get
go back and forth.
Get my group in a group and make a call one way or the other.
Yeah, you should call her, man.
No. So I made a pros and cons list, and if I could read it out loud to you, like maybe just a fresh set of eyes would help me make a decision. Because this is a big thing.
I like this part when they're right back and forth, fast, really back and forth, this part. Not me, not you. Maybe you should say, like, not you, it's me.
Well, we have been back and forth, actually. actually. It's a good point. We've been back and forth on this for 2 years now, and I realize that I've been like, am I gonna fish or cut bait? So on the pros list, Kelly's great. I mean, you know that she's great.
I feel like I want fish tonight now that you mentioned that. Like, seriously, can we get some fish?
Also on the pros list, she's smart. She has a good job, good head on her shoulders.
Something on that.
She's not prone to hysterics. She really listens.
The song was
bang.
She really listens.
Okay. If I could sing like this, man, I'd be pretty. I'd be doing all right.
So those are the pros, and Steve, I'm gonna read the cons now to you, and you tell me what you think of these.
You made a list?
Yeah.
Are you checking it twice?
So the cons are ultimatums. She gives me an ultimatum.
Okay, and I get to the gets. Ah, there we go.
Ultimatums. That's fine.
Did you know these guys were young when they did this? Like 12? I certainly couldn't sing like that when I was now, let alone 12.
Anyway, there's a bunch more cons, but maybe I'll do this as just a decision I have to make for myself.
Like escape cons, or like what kind of con?
Thank you so much.
Constantinople. Let's just talk about something else, man. Like, maybe if we think about something more positive, like, we'd be better off, probably. Like, maybe did you have fun? You, like, watch a movie last night, or maybe I don't know.
Wait,
sounds
is
pretty
that,
cool.
Wait, is that Walking to Memphis?
Yeah.
You know, alright. Do you know what's funny about that song?
What's that?
My first ever date with Kelly.
Yeah.
We did karaoke. On, and I wanted to do Walking to Memphis, but they didn't have it. So you know what I ended up doing?
What'd you do?
It's a sign. I ended up doing that. Hard to say what it is I see in you. You know that one? Finally I figured out what it took a long, long time. That one?
Man, you're still hung up on this Kelly thing. Like, you gotta move on.
Well, no, but this is a sign. You're playing Walking to Memphis, and that's the song I wanted to do.
Oh.
I think I should marry her. Thank you so much. You always know just what to say. It's the best. All for You by Sister Hazel. There it is. Finally, I figured it out, but it took a long, long time. Thanks, Steve-O, and thank Mark Cohen for Walking to Memphis, because that's what started it all. And he is married to Elizabeth Vargas from 2020. And what I'm having is hindsight. Because in hindsight, Kelly has always been the one for me. Man, this is why we're best friends. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. I got another song going anyway. That song was a little too sleepy for me.
Do you know what this conversation reminds me of? When people know exactly what they want to do, but they're polling their friends to get advice because they just want people that are going to say, yeah, do that.
Yeah, for sure.
You ever know when you can
do whatever you want? That's because, like, do whatever you want, man.
You're giving someone advice, and you can tell they're like, you lost them because you didn't say what they wanted to hear.
Oh, for sure. Talking yourself into circles. That's why your friends aren't therapists, right? Because, like, even if they listen, you end up just, like, deciding something.
Yes.
Man. Like, you don't need advice from your friends when you're talking about some things in life.
No. You know what you want to do.
It's like, come on, man.
You're just looking for an echo chamber. Jeremy.
That's not to say you can't, you know, you should definitely vent issues and talk about stuff, but yeah, that doesn't mean you're looking for advice, right?
Correct. In breaking kind of nightmare fuel news, there is a submarine that takes tourists to see the Titanic that has gone missing.
That is a nightmare.
That's tourist scary. Submarine has reportedly gone missing at Titanic wreck site, trip operated by OceanGate Expeditions. The vehicle's currently unresponsive.
Like, I can't believe that you can actually go into a thing now and not get, like, the pressurized ear explosion. Like, you can just go down there and it's no big deal? Like, dude, that's...
A small submarine bringing tourists to the Titanic has gone missing somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean.
No way, man. Yikes. That's horrifying. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about it, too. I also don't have any desire to do anything where death is a very real possibility.
Well, I don't know. Like, I guess it's, what is it? Like, did it, a current took it away? Or, like, is there, did it lose connection, have technical issues? Like, that's, you'd think that's something that if they're bringing tourists down, that's generally some pretty safe stuff.
Do you know?
Rebels going ape back here.
Do you know, guess how much it costs per ticket?
Oof. Well, I'm assuming this has some training involved to be able to go in this, because you're going so far down. Like, I'm going to say it's at least $1,500.
$250,000.
Oh, well, there you go. That's
per person.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said $1,500.
Yeah, it's got to be at least a person training.
Come on, see, that's not tourists. That's,
you can't,
like,
go.
That's like the Bezos going to the moon type tourist.
You can't go on the train to Fredericton for $1,500, bud.
That was pretty low, I guess. Eh, I'm thinking.
Like, hey, gas.
I need to go down to the Titanic. Oh, that's gonna cost you at least $1,500. Oh, that's a bit steep.
Imagine taking $250,000 to go see the Titanic, and then your submarine goes missing. Like, that is not funny.
Guess how much a ticket is? $250,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's probably like a 6-week training camp for this thing, no?
I don't know that, but I am fascinated by... it's just something I have to do, Gene. I remember reading Into Thin Air by John Krakauer about people who climb, was that Into Thin Air? Or was that the story about the Chris McCandless who disappeared in the wilds of
Alaska? I don't want to see one of those fish with the glowing orb in front of its face thing. Like, I don't need to see that, like, up close.
I remember thinking when reading this book, like, there was a woman who died climbing Mount Everest, and she had two toddlers at home, and she said, it's just something I have to do.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, man, I wonder what that feels like, the just have to do it. I don't have any ounce of that just have to do it octane gene. I don't need to jump out of a plane or go visit the Titanic in a submarine.
Why did you sleep with that guy who looks like Larry from the Three Stooges? I just had to do it.
It's just something I had to do.
I just had to.
Yeah, don't have that at all.
At the bar that I met at Dooley's, I just had to do it.
I wonder what Richard Klein's doing these days.
No, the Three Stooges, not Three's Company.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with the big side hairdo.
Oh, yeah.
The skirted egg. I guess they should call that a prom dress egg.
Gross. Richard Klein is still providing weekly workshops.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I know that's Larry from Three's Company, not the Larry we're talking about.
Yeah,
But he has a master acting class.
I remember that in Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah.
Ah, good times.
And his class testimonials.
I love it. Well, that's it. I think that sums up our week, buds. We'll have to take a finality. See you later. And that's, we'll see everybody next week, eh?
Good job.